best not miss.
Well, I'm a bunch of little crowd laying motherfucker, motherfucker.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Welcome to the party, pal, the mind-bending film and television podcast. You didn't know you needed it. Welcome to the Party Pal is a proud member of the Osiris Media Group. Check out all their podcasts, all their live events, everything they got going on. That's at osirispod.com. In today's episode, we celebrate Shogun, the historical drama television miniseries created by Rachel Kondo and Justin Marks. It is based on the 1975 novel by James Clavell, which was previously adapted into a 1980 miniseries. Its ensemble cast is tremendous, and the series has received praise from critics and fans alike. To explore what makes this show so special, I have Ryan O'Connell back on the program. He is a writer, event professional, and one-time musician from the great state of Maine who currently resides in New Jersey. He has contributed work to Uproxx, Heavy, and Bro Bible, and he also maintains his own blog, which is tons of fun, called Giddy Up America. Shogun is easily one of the best shows to come out in 2024, and we're about to get into just why. Let's dig in.
Ryan, welcome back to the party. I'm real excited to talk about this excellent show. How are you doing?
I am honored to be here. Honored.
Fantastic. I want to just, I don't think we should mince words. Let's get into the finale. I thought it was crazy cool, brilliant on a lot of levels. It was. I actually thought it was super unexpected how kind of mellow and beautiful it was. I think I expected something bigger. A lot did. What did you think of finale?
I thought that it put an accent point on the argument, or it put a stamp on the argument that people were saying, like, oh, it's like Game of Thrones and stuff like that. And it was like, kind of. But the Game of Thrones thing that was also like the conversations in rooms, but also the big spectacle scenes. And then as Thrones went on, it became much more spectacle and stuff like that. Shogun was like, we're not really into the spectacle scenes. We'll give you a little earthquake here at the end. But for the most part, this is a character drama.
Absolutely.
And we're not going to, if you're expecting a reenactment of whatever the war is called, that really did happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not good that we're not going to do that. And whether it's a budget reason or whatever, or wherever the reasons behind the choices are.
They play into it a little bit. They did mention that.
I mean, it's hard, you know, but I think it definitely drove the point home of being like, no, we're not the next Game of Thrones. We have some Thrones-ish tendencies, but that's not us.
It's absolutely not. I mean, I think that's what, I mean, there was so much talk about the Thrones kind of parallel there going into it. And just time and time again, they showed they were going a different way. I mean, I think I was listening to the Watch podcast. They phrased it that they said the quiet part loud. And that's another cool way to say it. And did you watch the show, the old miniseries, or read the book? I did not.
I didn't. I did watch something on YouTube, like, the differences between the two.
Yep.
I thought it was cool that Toshirô Mifune played Torunaga in the original, which I thought was cool because.
Oh, that's really cool.
Because he's like a legend. So I thought that they really brought in like a heavy hitter for that one, but I didn't even know about it. I didn't know about the book, didn't know about the miniseries.
That was nice too, the not knowing kind of that I guess they really stuck to the book though. They really stuck to the script a whole lot. And in that book, they did not show the battle either. And so that was something that they just, you know, figured was the best way to go. But it also, the impact was always there, the reveal of his plan when he first talked about how he was the one who, and I mean, the fact that he was doing it to Kashiga, is that, Kashiga, that's Yabushige, the fact that he revealed it to him was fantastic. I mean, just the talking and kind of the lines about how, you know, you don't tell a dead man the future. That was tough to lose him. I was a big fan of his. He knew it was gonna happen. I mean, he took some risk. He was I read from at some site, I wish I could give credit, but for him it was like Shogun asked the question, what if Littlefinger, and that's another game thing, was cool.
Yeah.
you know, and that's neat. I mean, because he was like as slimy as him. He wasn't as smart as Littlefinger, I'd say. I mean, you saw what happened to him, but I mean, he was just such a fun character, and so that was great that he was involved in that final moment and just the way that whole thing played out. I thought they brought it home in a major, major cool way. And it was, you know, there's so many different story arcs that had such impact. Each characters had their own story arc that was major throughout. And I know we'll get into them. But that was what was really neat. Each person had their comeuppance and change. Mm-hmm. And what a cast too. Brilliant cast.
Oh, I thought the actors were amazing. And I thought the Yabushige getting his comeuppance,
mm-hmm.
like, makes sense. I mean, the dude just, like, tried to play both sides up until the end.
Exactly.
And rarely does that ever work well.
Yep.
And then he got it. And I thought it was cool that, because then it was like, this week I've kind of been watching the first episode again.
Did you go back? I watched the last ones a couple times, but not, I haven't gone
the,
back.
Well, if you go back and watch the first one, it's actually, like, super, like, I don't know. It's just like everything makes sense all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because the first episode's perfect, mm-hmm. and how it lays everything out there. But I mean, at one point, Yabushige says that, like, why tell a dead man the future?
Oh, really?
So then it's cool where, like, Torunaga later then is like, why? I thought that was cool. Like, and I would have not have picked up on that at all if I hadn't gone back and watched it.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I finish, I think the rewatch value is super strong. Not only is there a lot of subtleties to absorb, there's a lot of, you know, different things with customs and getting used to, you know, everything that these Japanese customs, because it is so different. What was neat to learn about is that the creators actually, they created a massive document detailing the customs, the culture, and the history of Japan in the 1600s. And that was like kind of like the foundation they were building on and just trying to get it right. And I guess I had a question for you. I was really curious about, did you have, I think when I first got into the show, I was worried about how challenging it would be to follow along, mm-hmm. and you know, kind of get all the stories and the names, and, you know, the language is different. It's a big, I feel like a lot of the shows I'm watching these days all have subtitles. It's really wild. Tokyo Vice and even Ripley and everything. But did you have any, did you find it challenging?
The names were challenging, and I was definitely rolling with, like, you know, that guy, that dude, sneaky guy, head guy. Like, my wife and I talking, like, I've been explaining things. I'm like, oh yeah, well, like, lead guy over here is talking to sneaky guy. And so definitely, and a part of that is just the cultural difference. Like, it's hard to pick up on the names.
Hmm.
Except for Blackthorn. I had that one down.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I thought that was challenging. Like, and I think it kind of reminded me, like, I took a Japanese film class in college.
Oh, cool.
And it was kind of like that, and that it was hard to, like, pick up on the things.
Yeah. Yep.
And it took some work to, like, really, like, find, like, the theme, really, like, the things that, like, you latch onto when you're watching something.
Mm.
It's a little harder when it's not, like, you know, the characters aren't like Bill and Frank and stuff like that. And it's a little different. I mean, I think I didn't know Mariko's name until, like, episode 4.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting getting your head around some of those cultural differences too. I mean, seppuku, the tradition is such a big part of this, and I mean, the nobility of taking your own life is something that's kind of hard for me to get my head around. But it is. It's so honorable, and I'm kind of like a live to fight another day guy.
Yeah.
You know. But I mean, it is. It's there is something. There's a beauty there that you come to understand. And I'd love to start talking about Mariko. Some, I think I'm saying that right, and I apologize if I'm getting some of these names wrong, but she has that great, great line, accepting death isn't surrender. Flowers are only flowers because they fall. And it's just talking about, because you die, you know, it's more, these things are more important. Yeah. Getting your head around that, you know, how special of a thing that is, when it's just super, super crazy.
I mean, it's, as someone who is personally a big proponent of learning from my mistakes.
Yes. Yep.
It would probably not be an ideal culture for me.
No.
I also,
you can grow from these things. That doesn't have to be the
end. Yeah. I also routinely probably don't say the right things.
Yeah.
And so, But I think it's interesting, and I think it echoed. I mean, that was one of my big takeaways from that class I took, is like the intensity of the culture,
Yeah, totally.
and which I think is interesting because it also it's such a like there's such a peaceful calmness to it,
Yeah.
like where they're preaching the beauty of just sitting down and watching the rain,
Yep.
and how like it's okay, cool, that's super calm, but at the same time it's like, oh, like you kind of screwed up, you have to go kill yourself. Or like this whole idea of honor. I remember being so stressed out watching these movies in college because it was so like so many of them were driven by like you disgraced your family. How are you going to make it right and all that stuff. And I just think it's such an interesting juxtaposition of like, oh, the calmness versus the intensity.
I guess that's kind of why Khashoggi was so fun too, because there was like he would kind of smile and have smirks, and like there was like almost like this like Western vibe to some of his actions too, which was nice, and it was made it palatable. Just the penultimate episode was unbelievable. The idea that she was Crimson Sky, that Marika was Crimson Sky, I thought that was amazing. And what was it? She did with her, but what with one woman, what an army couldn't do was so cool. Her story arc this entire time was amazing. How, it's I love when they have that situation where an episode is like dedicated to the person who's about to, end their life at the end or die at the end. It was her episode. She was such a boss in it when she was kind of standing up to them and saying this matter is closed back to them, the whole thing. I thought she absolutely killed it, and that was really one of my favorite episodes.
Were you at all kind of like bummed when she went to fight the guys and just couldn't do it? Like that part, that was one of those moments where I kind of had to step away and then later appreciated it. But at the time, there had been so much build up toward it. And I think, again, the Thronesian over, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I like
you
that word.
expect her to like kick ass and take care of things.
Absolutely.
But then again, like that's not the show you're watching, and that's not at all realistic. And this was a very realistic show. So it's like, I think it was just a bummer. And I think part of it's how invested we are in the character. Like you wanted her just to kick ass.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
then when
She
she
was set up
didn't,
for a big moment there, and she wasn't able to pull it off.
But then I think then again, like you had to like sit with it because you have to realize like, no, that was part of the whole thing. Like it's one thing for her to show defiance in her actions and her words, but then to like in a physical way show that like she's gonna do whatever it takes to get out of here. And she can't, to really drive the point home, being like, no, you guys are captured here. Like you
Yeah,
are
you're
stuck
stuck.
here.
Yeah, no matter what.
Despite with your permits.
It was funny, all of them kind of watching from above in that scene. It was set up in a cool way. I'd like to ask about Toranaga, because it was, I mean, he's a man with a code. He's definitely got a code that he sticks to. But it was interesting when you did find out that about his plan, that he wasn't immune to the idea of some sort of greed or lust for power. I mean, he was playing the game too there. And there was a couple points where I really loved the character, but there was times where I'm just it was tough to watch him allow his kind of lead vassal to kill himself in that one moment. That was, and you're like, what are you doing? This doesn't seem like you. But I mean, it all turns out that it is all part of the plan, and he has an incredible master plan. But I mean, it was interesting, kind of to see that he was fighting for something that you might not expect him to be fighting for when we first get to know him.
I think I got like a little frustrated when towards that part, like episode 8 or whatever, when his dude, again, his dude, that guy, his number
Here we
two,
go.
he killed himself and Toranaga just like seemed defeated a little bit. And it wasn't the Toranaga we had kind of gotten accustomed to.
Totally.
And that's one of the things that like bothers me in any kind of like TV show or movie. Like I hate when characters get amnesia.
Oh,
and
yeah.
don't know who they are.
Yep.
Because it's like, no, like you, I like you as you.
Yeah.
Like that's, I think, in my always example, and it's ridiculous, but True Blood, the character Eric, Skarsgård, there was like one season where he started, he had like amnesia, didn't know who he was. And it's like, no, man, like you're cool because of like how you act. Like, don't, I don't like when they stop acting that way. Or like, I think it was like in a Spider-Man movie, like one of the Spider-Man, like I just, that part bothers me because it's like, no, like you're this person I'm along the ride with. So I don't like defeated version of Toranaga.
No,
I
no,
want
no.
like all knowing, smart, I got a plan for
Stoic
this.
badass, you know? Like,
Yeah.
that's what
Which
I'm in
again,
for.
like we got there, but it's like I didn't know that was happening.
Yeah,
I
for
kind
sure.
of figured he had some sort of plan, but then when his dude killed himself, I was like, wait a second.
Absolutely.
Did,
It
is he done?
didn't seem right. Yeah.
Like is this kind of like a Boardwalk Empire thing where like Jimmy kills, like you don't think Jimmy's gonna die, but then like, oh wait, he did. And you're like, well, that makes sense. I don't know. I guess my real thing is, how many HBO shows can I reference?
Can you reference in one little discussion there? It's pretty wild when how his son passed away, that old slip and fall
That, well,
situation.
that was another one, like, because then you're like, this would be, again, I think the how the show is grounded in this realism of like, yeah, in a fantasy show, like the son would totally do that and kill the uncle, and then all kinds of shit would go crazy and stuff like that. But the reality of the situation was that like the son was kind of like a mess, like a screw
He
up.
was. He absolutely was. He
He
was a
was
liability the whole time.
not built for this life. And it would make sense that he wouldn't have the wherewithal to be like, you know what? I'm not going to try to kill my uncle while standing on wet rocks because that seems
You better.
ill-advised. You know, like a real person would like, it's like the whole thing, like knowing your surroundings and like, cool, I'm not going to have to plant my feet on wet rocks
Totally.
because that's not going to go well. And then like he dies and you're like, okay, well, this part makes kind of sense.
Yeah,
It's,
absolutely. It makes perfect sense that he would be able
yeah.
to follow up in that way. It has been interesting learning more kind of about the history of things. I mean, Toranaga is based on Tokugawa, who is a leader who impacted 260 years of peace after a century of civil war. He actually constructed Edo, which later became Tokyo. Blackthorne, who I'm excited to talk about. He was based on an English navigator, William Adams, who was the first Englishman to visit Japan. But it was interesting to I heard the creators talking about Blackthorne, and they mentioned that the audience is kind of Blackthorne because you're going in there and you're this naive person getting to know the culture. And it was really, really cool to watch his story arc because I mean, towards the end, he became entirely broken. I mean, it was all taken from him. I mean, his
Yeah.
love, his boat, everything. And it looks like, I think the idea is that I was taking away from it. Now that he is finally broken, he has the ability to finally start living. And that was kind of my takeaway towards the end when we saw him kind of re-energize and kind of had a new purpose. And that was to teach the naval ways to the Japanese people there. So
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting takeaway. What do you think of his story arc?
I thought it, like, nailed it. It's true. Like, and I think it's interesting. Again, I would recommend going back and watching just the first episode.
I'm going to.
There's a
Absolutely.
lot
You got me
of
last time you were talking about it.
there's a lot of TV to watch, but I think going back to watch that first one is really interesting. And one of the reasons is his introduction, how like we see him and how like kind of forget what it's like when he's captured and how defiant he is. But then there's also like this super cool moment when he's talking to Rodriguez, the Spaniard. And that's
Great character
when,
as well.
yeah, when they're on the ship to Osaka, and Rodriguez has like the journals and stuff. And he's like, I know what you're trying to do. I'm gonna out you. And Blackthorne's calling the Japanese like the savages, and I'm not in this savage country. He's like, you do you think you're in a savage country? Go up, just go upstairs. That's all I'm gonna say. Just go upstairs, take a look, report back with your findings. And he goes up, and the visual of them pulling into Osaka, it's like, no, man, you're you're in a civilization,
Totally.
which I think is so cool from the standpoint of like, I mean, we're spoiled now. Like, if we want to know what Osaka looks like today, we can go on Google Earth, done.
Totally.
But like this idea that 1600s, how everything was so separate. And then later, when like Blackthorne's explaining the world to Torunaga, how it's like, here's there, here's there. Because these dudes don't know. Because like
Nothing. No
everything
idea.
is so cut off. And we joke like sometimes when you're working, you're like, oh, we're working in silos and stuff like that. Like these people were just living in silos and like ships. Like that's like why, I mean, being a crewman or any kind of pilot on a boat seems like a terrible job. It's just
Seems like
the
a
re
nightmare.
like,
Absolute
cool, how
nightmare.
many times can you get scurvy and all this crazy shit? But at the same time, you're one of the lucky ones who's able to get out and like see the world. That like so many people aren't, or maybe they read about it in like a book or a letter, or they see a play that references something going on. I just that part of the premiere I thought was so cool when he goes steps onto the top part of the ship and like looks out and sees Osaka, I thought
It
was
was
awesome.
beautiful too, as they were coming in at night. That looked really, really beautiful. What did you think? I'm still kind of trying to absorb some of the show and figuring some things out. What did you think of like the flash forward to him in bed, and there was like his kids at the end of that last episode, and then that, I mean, because the thing that was confusing me is he was holding a rosary that would obviously be, his girls, but like or Marika or whatever.
We're gonna go with Mariko. Mariko.
Mariko, that's it, Mariko.
That's what we've been doing in the O'Connells.
Good.
Mariko.
No, that's it,
Yep.
Mariko. But at the end, he does drop that rosary in the ocean. So my thought was that maybe that was a future that wasn't realized. That was maybe a future that could have been where he was going, goes back to English, because it seems like now, his fate is to be in Japan. Did you have any thoughts
Yeah.
on that, or any way to spell
Well,
it out for me?
that would track with the guy he's based off of because that dude never left Japan.
He didn't, right?
No. I was kind of confused by it when it was happening. But then when they have the rosary, that's when you're like, oh, maybe this is, I guess it's a dream. I thought, looking back, I think it's a little too cute.
I do too.
And
Yeah,
I don't
the
think
only
it's
thing that
nec
really kind of confused me a little bit at the end of the day.
I don't think it was necessary.
Yeah.
It kind of took you out of it a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I was actually surprised when it first started. I was really enjoying as he was learning the language. It was kind of fun to see at the end that he was kind of getting to know a little bit
Yeah.
of it, and like kind of connecting and getting like the emotional aspect of the language with people, which is really neat. And kind of in that way, I thought the romance between him and Mariko was pretty awesome, because there has to be like this serious loneliness to not being able to speak with anyone. And it was intimate the way they were able to talk to each other, and they had each other, and I really, really enjoyed that.
I thought it was fantastic. It
yeah
was
yeah
awesome. And you know it wasn't gonna end well,
no
but it was, it was cool that it's always fun when like you find like two like bro it's like in any kind of story, like the two broken lost people who find each other
Yep, I
and
love
in
it.
like crazy shit world and all this going on in the eye of the storm, like these two people are able to find happiness together. And I thought that part was cool. Like, and then I think that coupled with her being able to like sacrifice herself and die in a way that she felt was like befitting of her
Absolutely.
dying, coupled with finding some like companion happiness, I thought was really cool. And I thought it helped him like understand that these aren't savages. He's not in some like barbarian world. Like,
Holy.
no, like this real feelings. I mean, that's like the entryway. Like, oh, real feelings makes this place feel real.
Totally.
Like, I thought it was great. I thought those two were great together. Mariko, like, if that actress, I think her name's Anna something, if she doesn't win an Emmy, then I don't know what they're doing.
Totally. Absolutely. She was amazing. Absolutely amazing. I hope the show gets some love. It really deserves it.
If it doesn't, then it's only because it falls victim to when it aired.
Yeah, those rules were kind of whack too. But I mean, do you think, I don't know if the talk is out there. It's done so well, which I think is amazing. I love to see a show this good get this type of attention, this type of, I guess the numbers are fantastic, especially one with heavy subtitles like this. You know, yeah. Sometimes you think that people would stare away from it. But I mean, when you do that well, we all want more. You know, the showrunners do kind of mention they're amazing. They're a husband and wife team right there, Justin and Rachel, and they do they kind of dance around it a little bit. But it sounds like it's not completely out of the question. That there's different ways they could do it. I mean, obviously Blackthorne and Tornaga are still around. You know, it's there's I'm sure there's many more tales to be told there. But also this is the story. This is the end of the story, and it is a limited series. And I know Rachel was talking about the challenge of living up to Clavell's the book. Because I mean, if you're gonna tell another story, you're gonna want to tell something amazing. And that's you know, hard to write up a gem of a story like this. Would you be happy to see more?
Kind of twofold. One, sure. I think I was listening to an interview with them where they were like, or this idea that they could do other stories within this time period. Cool. I'm into that. I think I had two thoughts. One towards the middle of the season where I was like, I wonder what this would look like as like a 3-season HBO show. That had, and no effects, no disrespect to our friends at FX.
They do great. Sure you, they do good stuff over there. Yep.
But if you threw down some of HBO's money and then you kind of stretch the story out a little bit to 3 seasons, like that seems like that could be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Because then you really kind of build it out. Then my thought while watching the premiere again and realizing that I had forgotten things, is like, I wonder, because I'm anti streaming shows dropping a season all at once.
I've come to really appreciate the other way, the weekly drops. I can really, really enjoy the show in a better way that these days.
But I wondered if this was one where I was like, well, I wonder if you could binge this one.
Yeah.
It might help because where it took you 4 episodes or took me 4 episodes to kind of get character names down.
Get your bearings,
And when I went back to watch the first one, realizing stuff that I had missed or had forgotten about, that then was like, cleared up things in episode 7, 8, and 9 or whatever.
Yeah.
So I just wonder, I was like, if you could binge it, and kudos to someone who then can binge it, I think you might be positioned to really get a lot out of the show.
When I fell behind a little bit and I was able to kind of get to the last bunch of episodes leading up to the finale, I really got into it. I was like in the zone. I knew all the characters really well and was able to like really, really follow along. But I guess it's also a good credit to an amazing show that anytime an episode would end, I was just eager for the next. I really, really wanted more, which was awesome. I mean, obviously I'd love to see more from these showrunners. I know they could do a great job, but also the story was told here. And so we'll see that he does have, Clavell has other books. It's kind of got these Asian saga books I keep reading about. One is called Gai Jin, which means foreigner. Anything reading about that, it sounds like a cool story that maybe they pick up on one of his other stories set out in that other world. That would be a cool way to go. I love this cast so much. And when you were saying kind of spreading it out over 3 seasons, that would just give me more time with these characters, which would have been awesome. And now I just also, and I know I'm not alone here, I want to see a lot of these actors and other stuff. I mean, I know, you know, we had Kashigi was in, he was in the Thor movies, but I can't think of many other things that he was in. He was just kind of, he was Hogan in that, and he's not in it much. But I mean, I really want to see all these actors. What did you think of Cosmo Jarvis as Blackthorne? There's some funny things about them out there, people doing impersonations of him. And I kind of, when I first started watching him, I kind of felt like he was kind of like a poor man's Tom Hardy type thing, but like,
Well, I mean, he is like a poor man's Tom Hardy in that sense. But I thought he's really good, especially it's fun because I think it worked because I didn't know who he was.
I think that
And
helps. Yes.
I think it helps because it puts him then on even footing with the rest of the cast because
Absolutely.
I recognized the dude who plays Toranaga from at least one or two other things. But for the most part, I didn't know any of these people. So I think it then helps. The only person I recognized was Rodriguez.
Yeah, you're right. He Cosmo would have really stuck out if he was like if that character was somebody really well known. It would feel
And
a little different.
I think it helped too because that was one of the big things I guess they changed from the original miniseries is that they didn't make it the white savior thing.
Yeah, it was
And
like a
I guess in
different
the
take on
first
it, which is
one,
good. Oh, really?
in the first one, because it was not Richard Branson or some dude who I guess was a big deal. I guess, and it was more the story from his perspective, which it's like, okay, well, it's 2024. I'd like to think we're an advanced society, but TBD on that one. But like, I thought having it be someone else you're not familiar with puts it more level with the rest of the cast who you're not familiar with, which I thought was cool. I'm anxious to see him do more. That's gonna give
Fully.
me more Cosmo Jarvis. Great
He's
name,
great.
by the
He's
way.
great.
Great
Great.
name.
The best name. The best name.
Like,
It was I expected when I started watching the show that we were getting another White Savior story, and that was not it. And that's I think
no.
that's fantastic, which is good. It was fun. I like the little move they did where the English they were speaking was actually Portuguese. I thought that
Yes.
was a nice way to play it. We needed to have some English language in there for the English people.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you couldn't.
it worked.
Yeah, because like, you can only ask so much people with subtitles,
Absolutely. Yeah.
and I think they found a nice balance of what they could do, and I thought it was
Definitely.
like a fun little cheat code that like, oh, let's speak Portuguese, and you're like, that's English.
That's nice. Yeah, exactly. I think subtitles in general feel like a cheat code to me these days, meaning that with all these different shows I'm watching, I can't like multitask or anything. Like it really gets me to focus in on them in the way I should be respecting these shows. And I always appreciate that. I'm not watching this in passing in any way. I gotta be focused in, which is really, really.
No, it's smart because I do think we live in like a two screen
We do.
world.
I get prone to it too, and it's something I'm not proud of.
No, but it's you can't help it. Like, there's few shows that have me like locked in from start to finish. And I think even like Top Chef, which I love, which I'm caught up with, I
Did you
want to
catch
add.
up? You catch up? I
Yes,
was gonna ask.
I'm in. I'm in. I like the inclusion of the 16th chef, Sue. But even with that, I mean, it's not like I'm not like just like kind of looking at emails
Totally.
or like looking at Instagram or like
That's a show you can get
checking.
away with it, though.
Yeah, especially this time of year with playoffs and stuff. It's like,
Totally.
I'm checking to see what the Celtics are doing.
Definitely. The NBA playoffs mess with my viewing situation right now. I have a list of shows I need to get into that I'm excited about. Three Body Problem. I'm going to dive into that next. I didn't do Manhunt. I watched the first episode. I was loving it. I'm finally, I'm really swamped with shows. I mean, it's great. It's a good opportunity. But we've talked about this before, like what was coming. This is like it's hitting right now, and I'm feeling it. I want to keep up, but it's challenging.
Oh, it's almost insurmountable if you have any kind of life
Totally,
like going on.
absolutely.
Like I think
Yeah, we're
I've
both
watched
fathers.
like,
We've got other work. Yeah, it's just.
yeah, I think maybe I've watched two episodes of Manhunt.
Were you enjoying it? I enjoyed it.
I
Yeah.
liked it. I think the
I'm
history nerd
curious.
in me was what was carrying it through.
Totally. I didn't know all those stories that were going on in there. Just about the bigger plot. It's something. And when I talked
No,
about it, it's like,
talk
this is
about a
crazy. I had no idea.
big miss with the history people. How are we
Yes.
leaving out the fact that there was this whole conspiracy? Like, yes,
Totally.
they got Lincoln, notable,
Yep.
but how are we not leaving out the fact that they were going to wipe out the whole cabinet?
They were
Like,
going after the Secretary of State and everybody out that night. That's wild.
how are we just like yada yadaing that part?
Insane. Yep.
And then yeah, I watched the first episode of Three Body Problem.
Yeah, that has my attention a little bit. We'll see.
I might check out Fallout. Someone I work with was suggesting that. I got
It's
like
pretty
a
good. It's pretty.
six.
I enjoyed it. I knocked it out. I mean,
Yeah.
Goggins. Goggins is amazing. Goggins is worth the ride.
Yeah, I figure I got like a 6-hour flight ahead of me on
Yep.
Thursday.
Oh, going West Coast.
Yeah, going to Seattle. So I was thinking, I was like, use the opportunity to like try to dive into one of these.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
That's the move. But there's a lot, and then you throw in like, and then Top Chef, which I love,
Yep.
and then playoffs.
Yeah.
Do the Celtics, will they play the Knicks next? Is that
They
how that
won't.
would shake?
They won't. The winner is the I know the Knicks, if they move on, they're gonna play the winner of the Bucks series right now. So who the Bucks
Okay.
are playing, I can't think of it, but that's not it.
Okay. So
Yep.
then the Celtics would
So if
have.
they meet, it would be in the Eastern Conference final if they were able to,
Oh,
which would be.
let's do it. That'd be fun.
I know. I'm trying to temper some excitement. I love the Knicks, but it's we'll see. But even with all these shows out there, and a lot of them are very good. There's no doubt about it. And when we talk at the end of the year about our best shows, this one's going to be right there. It's an
Oh.
absolute gem. It really it's wonderful.
Unless shit gets weird, lock it in at least three at the
Yeah, we're in the
most.
we're yeah, dude. We're, it's a medal placing show.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like when you're watching the Olympics or something, you're like, well, I don't know what if Michael Phelps's time is here.
Yeah.
Dude's at least gonna medal.
He's gonna medal.
Like
Shogun's gonna
Shogun's
medal.
at the very least gonna walk away with the bronze,
Yep.
but that's factoring in, I don't know, a remarkable second season turnaround for House of the Dragon, maybe. Or like if one
I'm
of these
so
sh
curious how that season's gonna turn out.
yeah or if like one of these other shows we talked about, Three Body Problem or Fallout or Ripley or what's the other weird one,
I enjoyed
Reindeer.
Ripley. Ripley, it took me a minute to get used to some of the most beautiful cinematography I've ever seen. And it's
okay
stunning. It's a slow pace, though. You got to get used to the slow burn on that one, but it's good.
Okay. And
Yeah.
then reindeer something.
It's amazing.
What
Reindeer
is
Baby
that?
is amazing. It's not what I expect. It starts out and you feel like it might be kind of like light and campy. It gets super intense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did not get
Buckle in for episode four.
great reviews from the lady who cuts my hair.
Yo, she didn't like it. She wasn't.
No. And her taste is usually pretty good,
Yeah, I
but
wouldn't recommend it to everybody. It's some of the topics are a little is I won't say much more, but a little intense. So,
yeah. So I think you just like, and who knows what else is gonna come down the pike. Like,
yeah,
yeah,
another
there's,
bunch.
30-minute shows or, I mean, where we'd put Curb Your Enthusiasm, stuff
Well,
like that.
it was a home run of a season. Absolutely. Curb's gonna be way up there.
Yeah, so I think Shogun is, they're at least walking away with a bronze.
Yeah, I
Which
can't. I'm
I worry would cause them to commit seppuku if they
right.
didn't win. They're like,
I just keep thinking about the cast too, how great it is. I mean, we didn't even mention a lot of the people, Lady Ochiba, Usami. There's just so many different characters in it that were just so fascinating, worked on many, many levels.
they all came to play, and I think it's cool because for a lot of them, this was like a chance to really like honor Japanese history and really do it right, which I think was cool. And like their reverence of what they were trying to do, let like and I guess the actor who played Torunaga was instrumental in that, of
Oh yeah.
like bringing like this, like, no, like this is what we're really gonna do, this is how we're really gonna dress, like, so I think there was this level of like bringing their culture to Western audiences, which I thought was super cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think he was the first one that was kind of like signed on to the whole deal and kind of
Yes.
set the tone and everything there. So cool. I'm glad to celebrate it here. I loved it. I've actually been really, really enjoying reading about it and learning more about it after the fact. And I'm gonna take your advice, Ryan. I'm gonna watch that first episode either today or tomorrow and just kind of get that feel for it. That's a good heads up there.
Yeah.
Anything
Well,
else you want to say about the show?
my last thing I'd say is
Yeah.
like, I think about this a lot. Like, I think it was like when Thrones ended, whenever these big shows end, there's always like this cry of like, this is it. This is the last like water cooler show. This is the last
Yep.
show everyone's gonna watch, like the whole monoculture show.
Totally.
But then something like this comes along, and I don't know how widespread people watch it, But I think this was proof of like, no, you can still have these big shows
Definitely.
That can like drop into the zeitgeist and just like control the conversation and be that like water cooler show.
Totally. It's, like, it's naive to not like realize there will be another. There is something.
Yeah. But for some reason, it happens every time.
Totally.
That like, this is the last monoculture show, or this is the last like, you know, show that we're all going to watch and all going to talk about the next day. And yeah, I think maybe to some extent, like there'll never be that next dayness. Well, we'll see what happens with House of the Dragon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that was my takeaway. It was like, oh no, we can do it. Everyone, we got it. We can do it. Yep, it's absolutely possible.
I mean, I just, like I said, I love that it's been getting this much praise and just this many views and everything. It always gives me restored faith in Americans out there when they do, you know, watch something this good there. Yeah. So thank you, Ryan.
Good work, America.
Good work, America. You're doing some things that are problematic, but this one's good. Good work, thanks, Ryan. Really appreciate you coming on and working through some of this with me.
Hey, no problem, buddy.
Awesome. And thank you, everyone out there, for once again joining the party.
This podcast is In the Loop, the Legion of Osiris Podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with live experiences and podcasts about artists and topics you love. Get in the loop at osirispod.com.